Okay, we're going to continue talking about the promises in chapter 58, verse 17. And in this meditation, we'll be talking about fidelity. The second of the three promises that the Benedictines make is fidelity to monastic life. This promise is a little bit difficult both grammatically and in practice. The Latin phrase that Benedict uses is conversatio morum suorum. I'm not a Latin scholar, however, I've read many of those who have said that it's just problematic. They really can't. It's the nature of what Benedict is trying to say has apparently gotten lost in the idiomatic language of his day. It didn't get transferred down from generation to generation. And so the best translation of this promise appears to be something along the lines of a way of life. You're promising to be faithful to a way of life that is in accord with the rule of Saint Benedict. Okay? That's what we're talking about, fidelity. But so what does that have to do with any of us if we're not living in a monastic setting? Well, the essence of the problem, I keep calling it problem. Excuse me, I'm tired. Somebody kept me up late last night.
Didn't they, though?
I tell you, 3:20 came early this morning. But the essence of the promise is that we can rightly interpret Benedict's intent as a conversion of behavior, okay, which could apply to anybody, whether you're in a monastic setting or in a secular setting. And so it's the abandonment of secular habits that are contrary to our Lord's will for our lives. The promise, conversatio, then is a promise to adopt this way of life that is laid forth in the rule of Saint Benedict, that is in fidelity to the rule. For the Cenobitic monastic, abandonment of all personal possessions is essential to their profession. In chapter 58, verse 24, Benedict says, quote, "If he has any possessions, he should first either give them to the poor or formally donate them to the monastery, reserving nothing for himself," end quote. But for those of us who continue to live in the world and those of us with families for whom we are committed to care, that would be all but impossible. Therefore, it would behoove us, as it were, to take an alternate view of this promise. When Benedict speaks of fidelity to monastic life, what he is doing is he's drawing on the biblical image that St. Paul uses of faithfulness in the marriage covenant. In chapters 23 through 30 of the rule, Benedict gives instruction regarding those who must be disciplined by excommunication from the community. Here we go. Unlike earlier rules, for example, the rule of the master or St. John Cassian, Benedict emphasizes the practice of great compassion on those who stray from the precepts of the rule. That is not to say he suggests tolerance of the wrongdoing, rather the practice of love for the offender, while seeking correction of the behavior that led to the offense. In chapter 27, Benedict quotes from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. He says, "Let them console him lest he be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow, and let love for him be reaffirmed." And then Benedict adds these words, "and let all pray for him." Benedict's primary concern is the repentance of the offender and the forgiveness given to him by the community. Benedict sees the relationship of monk and community as one of a marriage covenant. Jesus is the bridegroom. and the church is the bride. And just as that model is given to us in Scripture, so we are to view, according to Benedict, ourselves as the bride of Christ and the community of the church and the monastic community specifically as the earthly manifestation of the bridegroom. So here you still have that marriage covenant idea. And this covenant theology is implicit throughout the rule. The compassionate nature of the covenant is evident in chapter 29, where Benedict provides for three expulsions from the community before the expulsion is made permanent. But he also notes that it would be wrong for the unfaithful, and he uses the word here, infidelis, okay, an infidel, all right? It would be wrong for the infidel to be held in community against his will. He quotes 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If the unbeliever, the infidelis, departs, let him depart. And just as Paul says that the non-Christian partner in marriage may leave, so a monk who refuses to live the monastic life may be allowed to depart in peace. But as these chapters illustrate, Benedict instructed that every means be utilized to encourage the offender to change his heart. Every means are to be used to help the offender change his heart. And I'm not going to give you all the details, but I would encourage you to read through these chapters. Again, those chapters are 23 through 30. And it's got some very good pastoral advice for all of us on how we can help carry out our ministry. Another aspect of fidelity which Benedict emphasizes in the rule is becoming a new creation. St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. This is especially important for those of us who are continuing to live in the secular world. In her instructions to the Benedictine Oblates, Sister Thérèse Marie says that we must let go of the attachment to secular goods and values. She says, quote, put on the outward appearance of a Benedictine. Dress simply. Walk quietly. Live communally. Do not ask for exceptions. Come to the office and mass, even when it is a struggle. Put on the mind of Christ. Embrace silence, the root of all being. Drink deeply from Scripture. Meditate. Watch your thoughts and stop them before they become desires. Let go of the need to own things. Now that's sound advice for the Oblates, but it's sound advice for anyone who is trying to live as the image of Christ in the secular world. And it's doable. And it is doable. Fidelity is simply faithfulness. To faithfully follow Christ, we need to let go of the things which distract our attention from Him. One of the things that I have done for the past 37 years now is I've had an accountability partner. And Father Mark Finley and I have been accountability partners now for going on 23 years. And we meet every 2 weeks. We have to do it by telephone because he was in Idaho. Now he's in Alabama. But we meet every 2 weeks by telephone, and we go through 10 accountability questions. And then at the end of those questions, we make note of the things that we need to work on or things that we have done wrong, and we hear each other's confession. And we do that every 2 weeks. And we hold each other accountable for how we are living our lives in the secular realm. And the fourth question in those 10 questions is this. Have you allowed worldly concerns to distract you from your relationship with God? Have you allowed worldly concerns to distract you from your relationship with God? It's a good question. And it's something we both have to work on a lot from time to time. If you want to see those questions, I'd be glad to share them with you. But secular goods and values are a distraction from committing ourselves to the love of Christ. Think about how much time you spend watching the news, scrolling on the internet, spending on social media. All of that can be a terrible distraction for someone who is wanting to follow intimately Christ's way. We need to be careful. I was talking to my Friday morning Eucharistic congregation a couple weeks ago, and the question about pornography came up because one of the women has a son who's terribly addicted to pornography. And I commented to her that the word pornography comes from the Greek word porneo, which is evil. And evil comes in many forms, not just sexual. A lot of what you will find on social media and on the internet is evil. And if you're addicted to it, you're addicted to pornography. And we need to recognize that and fight against it. Stand against it. Stand in faithfulness to Christ. The call for us in this promise from the rule of St. Benedict is to live in faithful adherence to the rule in the station in life where you find yourself today. For us, that is not a call to the renunciation of all worldly goods. Rather, it is a renunciation of the claim that those worldly goods and values have over us. We cannot serve both God and mammon. So putting nothing before the love of God is our goal. And fidelity is the call to embrace that love of God. The promise, conversatio morum suorum, is a promise for us to put God first in every aspect of our lives, to put nothing before the love of God. All right, let me give you some questions to contemplate during this time of meditation. Is my way of life different from those who live worldly, secular lives? Ask yourself, is my way of life different, significantly different, noticeably different from those who live worldly, secular lives? Have I allowed worldly concerns to distract me from my relationship with Christ? Have I allowed worldly concerns to distract me from my relationship with Christ? Have I allowed the news, social media, and other internet sources to influence my behavior as a Christian? Do I make excuses for avoidance of opportunities to worship Christ? In other words, have I been perfunctory in my daily prayers? Have I neglected opportunities for silence, for solitude, for biblical study? Have I faithfully kept my vows of ordination? Have I faithfully kept my vows of marriage? And maybe even more significantly, have I done all I can to nourish those relationships? Fidelity, faithfulness, walking in the way of Christ, not allowing the world to distract me from my relationship with God. Keeping that intimate relationship with the love of God as primary in my life. Fidelity. Amen.